is because he performed another miracle. Amen. Started you with it. God bless you. So happy to have our drummer, amen, Reggie, back in worship with us this morning. Grateful. Grateful the Lord blessed him with safe few days off and a few days back. I'm grateful to see Sister Dr. Hampton in worship with us. She thanked the Lord. She texted me on Wednesday that she was getting in the air. And grateful the Lord brought her back safely. Amen. 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 I'm just glad to see all y'all. Amen. 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 One year ago today, we started our transition into the place of hope. The first Sunday in October of 2019. And God has been good to us. And I'm grateful for every moment. Amen. We'll celebrate officially the first Sunday in November. And expecting a wonderful time in the Lord. Amen. I got to make sure my speakers still gonna show up. You know, some folks still worried about Corona and COVID, and they got good reason to be. Amen. 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 And so my father, Chief Jones, was scheduled to be with us that Sunday afternoon, but he ain't getting out much, so I need to make sure he's still showing up. Hey, say amen. 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 Listen, I absolutely solicit your prayers for our President of the United States. Amen. 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 We shouldn't want or wish this terrible disease on anyone. Amen. And our politics should not get in the way of our prayers. Say amen. Amen. So we are praying for President Trump and his family. Amen. That the will of the Lord be done. Amen. Be done in his life. All right. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And then John chapter 11, verses 21 through 23. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. John chapter 11, verses 21 through 23. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. I want to talk for just a few moments this morning, if you would allow me, cancel the benediction. Cancel the benediction. Would you look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, cancel the benediction. My brothers and sisters, this word cancel means to decide or announce that a planned event will not take place. The benediction is a short blessing with which public worship is concluded. The benediction means the end. It's over, it's done, it's finished. This miracle of Jesus is the seventh and final miracle recorded in the Gospel of John. It has been called the supreme miracle of Jesus while he walked here on earth. It surpasses the other signs in his purpose of demonstrating that Jesus is the Son of God. John's gospel is a study of the mastery and creativity of Jesus as he performs miracles to demonstrate and to declare his divinity. Let's take a walk through the book of John. Chapter 2, he gave wine by his spoken word to make glad the hearts of men. In chapter 4, by faith and grace, Jesus healed the noble's son. In chapter 5, Lord have mercy, in chapter 5, in defiance of the Sabbath keepers, Jesus healed an impotent man. In chapter 6, he set a table in the wilderness on a hill near the Sea of Galilee, fed 5,000 in response to their physical needs. In that same chapter, in chapter 6, he came to rescue his own disciples, walking on the water and stilling the raging seas. In chapter 9, he declares he's the light of the world. He opened the eyes of one who was born blind. And here we are in chapter 11. Jesus gives life back to a dead man. Not just any man, but he gives life back to a dead friend to prove his claim to be the resurrection and the life, to be the deliverer of mankind. The miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead is regarded as the supreme sign because it is enacted by the word of God most clearly to reveal the divinity of God himself. Unlike the other signs where the act of faith or cooperation of others was involved, Jesus does this miracle all by himself. I wish I had some help here. It is the final miracle recorded by John. It is to get our attention, hear me, that it's not over until God says that it's over. It is a reminder to you and I that God has the final say. That no matter what man has said, no matter what it looks like, even when the last minute has ran out, he's still able to perform a miracle in your life. Even when there's no time left on the clock, he's still a miracle working God. Don't you dare clock out. Don't you dare call it quits. As long as he's still God on the throne, he's able to perform miracles. Watch the text. Jesus tells us this story about his friend. He calls Lazarus his dear friend. Scripture tells us that they send word to Jesus that Lazarus is sick and he's sick unto death. They expected Jesus to hurry up and run to see about Lazarus. The disciples look at Jesus, wonder, are we leaving now? But for 4 days, Jesus does not budge. He's received word that his friend has died. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus was as close to him as any of his disciples. He's received word that he's sick. He's sick unto death. And Jesus stays still. He does not send a word to them that he's on his way. He does not speak for Lazarus to get up, and he gets up. He stays and he's quiet. In the backdrop of the scene, Mary and Martha are wondering, where is Jesus? Is Jesus going to show up? Is he going to come see about Lazarus? Is he just going to let him die and leave him there? They're wondering, how could he go silent on us at a time like this? And have you ever been at a place in your life that you've been calling on him and you need him and you're reaching out to him and you're wondering, how could he go silent on me at a time like this? Here it is. I'm in the biggest struggle of my life. I'm in the most turmoil that I've ever been in. How could Jesus go silent on me? And he called me friend. He calls me his child. He calls me one of his, and he goes quiet on me. But you're praying and you're not getting an answer. You're calling and you don't see movement. How could Jesus go silent? Hear me, brothers and sisters. I don't have any traditional points for this message. But the first thing I want you to look at is that delay is not no. Let me say it again. Delay is not no. What's too late for man is right on time for God. For what man says is over, God says, hold up, I'm just getting started. The Lord's delay causes us to wonder, does he care? The Lord's delay causes us to wonder, is he concerned? But the Lord often delays not to make us doubt him. But his delay for the cabinet is to increase our faith. He could have showed up day one. He could have showed up day two. Could have shown up day three. But he says, I've got to stretch their faith. I've got to see if they really believe in the prayers they've been praying. I got to see if they really believe, God help me in this place. If they really believe that I'm the God that can turn nothing into something. That I'm the God that can make ways out of no way. That I'm the God that can do what no other can do. So I'm going to sit and watch their posture. God, I wish I had some help here. God says my delay is to increase your faith and to watch your posture. Because your posture determines my position. I wish I had some help here. He says, if you're going to believe that I'm God, then this shouldn't cause pity. It should excite praise. Oh, I wish I had some help in here. Because praise summons me to hurry in my delay. Pray, God, I wish I had some folk in this place and in the cyber sanctuary that understand that when God delays, he hasn't denied you. He's watching you. Would you do me a favor? Tell your neighbor, don't let his delay turn into pity. But let his delay induce your praise. Because when you praise him in the midst of your struggle, when you praise him in the midst of your heartache, you hurry God to come see about you. He says that your faith has to be tested. Because we discovered last month, didn't we, that it ain't faith until it's been challenged. And God says, I don't operate on your timing. I don't show up when you think I ought to show up. But I show up when I'm convinced, hear me, that I got your attention. I show up when I'm convinced that you're ready for a miracle. Because always you are not ready for a miracle. Because you're still depending on your own strength. You're still depending on your own ways. You're still depending on others. And so God has to put you in position to get you ready for a miracle. So Jesus, finally, after 4 days, he gets there. He gets there and they look at Jesus. And Jesus approaches Mary and Martha. And they say some crazy words to him. Jesus, had you been here? He dead now. It's over now. But had you been here, my brother would not have died. They said, Jesus, had you just showed up, perhaps they forgot that he's omnipresent, that he's everywhere at the same time, that he bumps into himself going and coming, that he is an omnipresent God, that he was there when they didn't know he was there, that he was watching them, he was covering them, he was protecting them even when they couldn't see him. Somebody has to learn that you got to learn to trust him when you can't trace him. Some of you have been just like the girls. You've been just like Mary and Martha. Jesus, had you been here, my money would still be in order. Jesus, had you been here, my marriage would still be right. Jesus, had you been here, my loved one would still be here. Jesus, had you been here, I'd still have my stuff. And you're blaming Jesus for what you had no control of. There are some things in life that you don't control.
Amen.
Jesus, God help me in here. I'm just about done. Jesus has to pull some stuff away from you to remind you who's in control. That he got to take what you like, take what you love, take what you're holding on to remind you that I'm in control. Jesus looks at them, said, listen, your brother gonna get up. They look at Jesus and say, we know that. We know in the hereafter, the resurrection, he gonna get up. Jesus said, y'all funny. Apparently, you've forgotten again who I am. You didn't realize that I was already here. That when he died, I was watching. And the reason you were able to handle his death, because I held you. Now you've forgotten who I am. He said, I am the resurrection. He said, I speak and life comes. I speak and death shows up. I am the resurrection and the life. I got the ability to raise anything up whenever I'm ready to raise it up. He said, I don't have to wait on time nor date. The resurrection lies within me. I wish you would look at your neighbor and tell him, whenever God gets ready, I'm coming out of this. Come on, tell him, whenever God gets ready, he's going to turn this thing around. Whenever God gets ready, life will show back up in my dead situation. Watch the text. You ought to look at somebody and tell them it's going to live again. It's going to live again. It's coming back to life. He says, my delay does not mean no. And here it is. He says, death does not have the final say so. Watch the text. He says, I'm the resurrection. Then he says to them, take me where you laid. They look at Jesus and say, wait a minute. Say, he's been dead 4 days. Said, the process of death has already taken over him. said he's probably stinking by now. Jesus, hear me things, and I'm going to move quickly. Jesus deals best with stinky stuff. Would you look at your neighbor and tell him he deals best with stinky stuff? How do you know, Bishop? Because we've been stinky. We've been dirty. We've been messed up in our sins. And he took our low-down, dirty, stinky self and cleaned us up and turned us around. You do know you ain't always smell like perfume and cologne. You ain't always smell like morning fresh soap. But you've been stinking in your mess. You've been stinking in your sins. And but for God that deal with stinky stuff, you would still be caught out in your sins.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, he says, I know he's stinking, but I want to get him up. Show me where you laid him. God can't perform a miracle until you're able to admit you need a miracle. I wish I had some help in here. He said, if you want a miracle, show me where you need the miracle at. Show me where it needs to happen in your life. Somebody said, didn't he know? Yes, he knew. But he wanted to see, were they willing and bold enough to say, here it is right here. And I'm just wondering in this place, and to those of you in the cyber sanctuary, is there anybody willing to just say to God, here it is, right here, that I laid it away because I thought it was over. I laid it away because I thought it was dead. I got rid of it because I thought it was done. And God says, you don't have the right to declare when it's done. Take me to where you laid it. I hear the Lord saying to you, take me to where you put your joy. Take me where you put your peace. Take me to where you put your anointing. Take me to where you put your work. Take me to where you put your study. Take me where you put your family, your friends. Take me to where you put your life. So I want to perform a miracle. But I want you to take me to it. Yeah, they get to the grave. Jesus says, move the stone. They start to assume, because they watched Jesus cry, how much he loved Lazarus. The scripture says Jesus wept. There are some things in your life that makes Jesus cry. There are some things that you go through that's even hard for him to bear. I wish I had some help in here. Yes, he is an omniscient God. He is an all-knowing God. But even some stuff that he has to put you through brings tears to his eyes, because you're his child. You're his friend. He loves you, and he don't want to put you through it, but he know it's necessary for it to happen in your life. He cried because of what his friend had to go through. Move the stone. Get it out of the way. Here it is again. Jesus could have spoke.
Yes, he could.
And an earthquake would have come.
Yes, he could.
And the stone would have moved.
Amen.
I got proof.
Yes.
On Calvary.
Yes.
Nobody moved the stone.
Yes.
Earthquake.
Yes.
Caused the world to rock and reel. And the stone moved. So he didn't need man's participation.
All right now.
He did it because he wanted to challenge their faith. Come here, children of God. I'm getting out of here. God does not need your participation in your miracle. But he does it because he needs you to work for what you want. God, I wish I had some help in here, because he understands if you work for it, you'll treat it better. I wish I had some help in here. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I got to work for this miracle. I got to put some work in, which means I got to pray a little harder. I got to fast a little more. I got to seek God more than I've ever sought him before. I've got to move the stone away. He requires human participation in the moving of the stone, because he wants to know, are you willing to move the hindrance? Miracles happen when you are willing to move what's been hindering you. He could have raised Lazarus, but he couldn't have got out because of a stone. Because there was a hindrance blocking him from his deliverance. So God can easily deliver you. But if you don't move what's been hindering you, you'll still be stuck where you are. So he has to move. Cause you to move. What's hindering you?
Yeah.
What does that mean, Bishop?
What?
Mm-hmm. Moving what's hindering sometimes means moving what hurts to move.
Yes, sir.
Because every hindrance is not a demonic hindrance.
Thank the Lord.
There are some hindrances that you're going to have a little more trouble moving.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because it's become a part of you.
Yes, sir. Come on, man. You're preaching
it here, Bishop. It's become what you like.
Yes, sir.
It's become what you long for.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to have problems moving it.
Yes, sir.
I want to be delivered, but I like my stone.
Yes.
I want to be delivered, but I love what's in front of me, and I don't know how to move it.
Help, God.
And it ain't that I don't know how to move it.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to move it.
Yes, sir.
Am I right? If it was an enemy, move with the quick.
Yes.
But because it's not an enemy,
yes.
I don't know
how
to let it go. Your miracle is waiting, but you got to let it go. They move the stone. Why don't you just practice moving the stone? Move it. They move the stone. Now Jesus has straight vision to where the miracle needs to happen.
Yeah.
And He says, Lord, don't do this for me, but do it for all of them so that they might believe. I got to quit. But there are some miracles that God performs in your life, not for you, but for those around you. So that they may believe in the God that you talk to. So they may believe in the God that you serve. It's not always for you. God will heal you for your neighbor. He looks, Paige, and he says, Lazarus, come forth.
Come forth.
He had to call Lazarus by name. Because had he just said, come forth, everything dead. Would have gotten up and came forth. But tell your neighbor, there's some stuff I want to stay dead. So I'm glad that God is specific in what he calls out there. There are some things there, God help me, that's not supposed to live any longer, and I want it to stay dead. I'm glad that he's a pinpoint God. That he knows what to call for. He knows what to leave dead.
Yeah.
So he says,
God.
Lazarus, come forth. You ought to be grateful that your miracle has your name on it. They wrote a song not too long ago, maybe some time ago now, I'm a little older. What God has for me, it is for me. That my name is on my miracle. And so you don't have to get jealous of nobody else. You don't have to hate nobody else. God has a miracle with your name on it. You don't have to look and say, how come they got it and I didn't? Why is it happening for them and it's not happening for me? When God gets ready to do it for you, he's going to call your name. Lazarus immediately sits up. He gets up,
come on now.
But he's still hindered.
Come on.
He's delivered, but he's still weighed down. The word has been spoken, but he's still got some stuff attached to his body. Some of y'all been delivered, but you're still weighed down. The miracle, hear me, the miracle was not in getting him up.
All right.
The miracle was not in raising him from the dead.
All right.
Paige, the miracle was in loosening him.
All right.
What do you mean, preacher? So you mean to tell me it wasn't a miracle that he raised him? Oh, yeah. But it wasn't the biggest of the miracle.
My God.
Because I can raise you and you still be bound. I can lay hands on you and you still be weighed down. Lazarus gets up and he says, I want him to be totally free. He says, to the garments, to the threads, loose that man and let him go. Loose that man and let him go. I'm getting out of here now, but I declare and decree in the spirit that God's getting ready to loose you. That God's getting ready to release you. That it ain't enough just for you to be raised. You need to be loose. Loose him. so he can live again. Loose him so he can smile again. Loose him so he can walk again. Loose him so he can be a testimony that if God did it for me, he's able. He's able to do it for you. Would you do me a favor? Would you look at your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, the same God that did it for me, the same God that raised me up, the same God that delivered me, is the same God that'll do it for you too. Have I got a witness? Jesus, look at the onlookers. They had already started crying. They had already started weeping. They were hollering because Lazarus was dead. Some had started walking away. But when Jesus got done, he looked at them, said, cancel the benediction. He looked at them and said, it's not over until I say it's over. He looked at them and said to them, I come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Would you do me a favor? Would you look at your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, I know I've looked dead. I know I've seen dead. I know you counted me out, but Jesus showed up, and since he showed up, canceled my benediction. I'm gonna live and declare the works of the Lord. I'm gonna live and shout my story that God picked me up. That God turn me around. Do me a favor. If you're gonna live, if you're gonna live, tell your neighbor, I'm gonna live. I'm gonna live. I'm gonna wake up in the morning with a new attitude. I'm gonna wake up in the morning with a new determination. In the authority and the promise that the Lord has given me. I'm going, Lord have mercy. I'm going to shout, somehow I made it. Somehow I made it through it all. The Lord, has brought me through. I wish I had somebody in the hill that could testify. They counted you out. They said you were the root. But look at you now. You are a testimony. God did it. God did it. What did he do? He lifted me. What did he do? He raised me. What did he do? He revived me. What did he do? He gave me another chance. Anybody glad? You got another chance. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. I got another chance. Got another chance. Got another chance. Would you do me a favor? I'm trying to quit. But would you do me a favor? Tell your neighbor. Don't play in my service. Don't put a program together. Tell them I ain't dead yet. Tell them I ain't dead yet. God still has a plan for me. God still has a purpose for me. And I'm going to stay right here until the Lord says that it's over. One more time. Y'all tired today. One more time. Say yes. Say yes.